Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. This is God's Word. Now, there was a famine in the land, besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws." So Isaac stayed in Gerar. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," because he was afraid to say, "She is my wife." He thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah, because she is beautiful. When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife, Rebekah. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, "She is really your wife. Why did you say she is my sister?" Isaac answered him, "Because I thought I might lose my life on account of her." Then Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the men might well have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech gave orders to all the people, "Anyone who molests this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You've become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there, but the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, "The water is ours." So he named the well Essek, because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also, so he named it Sitna. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land." From there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his forces. Isaac asked them, "Why have you come to me, since you were hostile to me and sent me away?" They answered, "We saw clearly that the Lord was with you, So we said there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you that you will do us no harm, just as we did not molest you, but always treated you well and sent you away in peace. And now you are blessed by the Lord. Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. Early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they left him in peace. That day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug. They said, "We found water." He called it Sheba. And to this day, the name of the town has been Beersheba. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, folks, God's word is absolutely true. It is totally trustworthy. And what is recounted for us as having happened historically is presented that way because it happened historically. It really happened. There really was a man by the name of Isaac who was a miracle baby born to his parents when they were way too old to have children and had already demonstrated for years that his mom was incapable of conceiving and bearing a child. This man really did marry Rebekah, and he really did repeat the pattern of sin that his father had displayed. His father tried to excuse saying, "She's my sister," about his wife, based on the fact that she was his half-sister. Okay? Before you say, "Ew," just understand that the Bible tells it as it is. But Isaac didn't have that excuse. Not only was she his wife, she wasn't his sister, even a half-sister. He was just flat out, totally, 100% lying based on cowardice. Putting his wife in a position of vulnerability where she could be taken advantage of in order to try and spare himself. That is cowardice. And cowardice is one of the things that God hates. If you look at the list of things that God says will be the reason why people are in hell, sorcery is one of those things. Adultery is one of those things. Cowardice is one of those things. Please understand that courage is not just a positive thing if you can find some. It is a requirement for godly living. So what we see here in this passage is Isaac, who is the result of a miracle. God did a miracle bringing Isaac into the world. And then when Isaac was about to be offered up as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah, God spared his life again, pointing to the fact that one day Jesus would be sacrificed there on Mount Moriah in order to spare our lives, in order to save us. So here is a miracle child, now as a man, who waited 20 years after he got married before his wife was able to have a child. Shouldn't a guy like that be able to trust God? I mean, if you've seen the miracles, if you are a miracle, shouldn't you be able to trust God when you go into a place where there are a bunch of pagans? He was afraid. He was a coward. Shame on him. What a disgusting thing. How awful. Perfectly dreadful. Be careful, because you and I have the capacity for the same sin. And I want you to see that sin patterns, and they are patterns, sin patterns are passed from generation to generation.
Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood is listener-supported. If you would like to help, please get a pen and paper so that I can give you our contact information. You can make a difference in the lives of those who hear this message and the lives of children at Wears Valley Ranch. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. Please visit us online at wvr.org. That's wvr.org. Or send in a donation to Wears Valley Ranch at 100 One Fine Place, Sevierville, Tennessee, 37862. That's Wears Valley Ranch at 100 One Fine Place, Sevierville, Tennessee, 37862.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Sin patterns are passed from generation to generation, and only God's grace can overcome them. Doesn't mean they can't be overcome. It means only God's grace can overcome them. You and I can't break those patterns on our own. Apart from him, we're going to fall back into the same pattern that we saw growing up, and we said to ourselves, I will never do that. Man, when I grow up, I'm going to... And then we grow up and we find ourselves doing the same stupid stuff that when we were little kids we could tell was stupid stuff. Right? I mean, that's a sin pattern. And it gets passed to the next generation. And the next generation can say, no way, Jose, I will not. And then we do it. Your child will do something and you're going to find yourself playing back the tape that you heard when you were a little kid. And then you think, good grief, I've turned into my mother. I've turned into my father. This is just horrible. I've got to stop this. Well, you can't apart from God's grace. Now, please notice I said apart from God's grace. God will enable you to break those sin patterns if you depend upon him and repent. That is not only acknowledge, okay, that was wrong. Please forgive me. But God, I can't change on my own. Would you please change me? Help me. I want to be different. God will do that. God will give you the power to change. But it isn't automatic. And generally speaking, it's not instantaneous. I remember saying to my dad when I went to a weekend seminar on fathering. And I heard about certain patterns. And I realized my dad broke the pattern. My dad did not repeat his father's mistakes. Now, my dad had never talked about that. My dad was careful to honor his father. But I'd picked up enough stuff from other members of the family that I knew a little bit about my grandfather. He was not a terrible man, but he had a real anger issue. And my dad had worked to overcome that. He was not a real affectionate man with his children, and my dad had worked to overcome that. And so I called my dad long distance, and I said, Dad, I've been attending a seminar where they talk about being a father and what it takes to be a good father. And I realized that you had to really work hard in order to be the kind of father you were as opposed to the kind of father you had. And I just wanted to thank you. There's silence. And I said, that was costly, wasn't it? And Dad said, yes, it was. Now, the reason that he was silent was not because what I said didn't speak to him. It's because he couldn't speak in that moment because it was so deep. It had cost so much. He had worked so hard. And finally, as an adult, one of his kids was saying, wow, that didn't come cheap. That wasn't easy. Thank you for doing that. Let me tell you something. By God's grace, you don't have to repeat the patterns. By God's grace, you can be the kind of parent you didn't have. By God's grace, you can model yourself after Jesus. But it will not come without a cost. You will have to die to self. You will have to take up your cross and follow Jesus. You will have to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And I plead with you, start that now. Right now, ask God to help you to change and be the person that He wants you to be for His glory. But I'll tell you something else. Not only can God's grace overcome those, but God remains faithful from generation to generation and always keeps His promises. And we see that in this passage. First of all, there was a famine in the land, and it was in that time that God chose to appear to Isaac. Look at what it says in verse 2. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me." Notice he doesn't say because you have obeyed me. "All through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws." So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Sometimes when we're in the worst of times, that's when God chooses to reveal Himself to us most clearly. They were in the middle of a famine, and God showed up. "Don't be afraid. I'm here with you. I'm going to take care of you. I've already committed myself, and you can rest in my promises." That's why it's all the more shameful that Isaac didn't trust God and tell the truth about the fact, "This is my wife." When you've got a God like that on your side and He's already worked a miracle and given you twin boys, why can't you trust Him with your life? In the worst of times, God showed up and revealed Himself to Isaac. Then, when things got better, God appears to him after all this trouble with the wells. Suffice it to say that Isaac was not a warrior type like his daddy. Remember, his dad was a guy who wanted peace and was not looking for confrontation. When he and Lot were going to have to split up, he says to Lot, "Hey, you decide which way you want to go, I'll go the other way." He's a nice, non-confrontational guy. But when somebody came and kidnapped Lot and his family and a whole bunch of other people and took them away, Abraham called out his trained militia and went and defeated those kings and brought the people who'd been kidnapped back. He was prepared for a fight. Isaac may have been prepared for a fight, but let's just say he never found a reason to do so. Okay? The people that he's living with have stopped up the wells that he inherited from his father. Remember, he was the heir. His dad had had his servants dig wells. The Philistines were so jealous that they had stopped up the wells. So Isaac's like, "Okay, let's dig some new ones." When they dig the wells, the Philistines say, "No, that's ours." And Isaac says, okay, we'll just name that one conflict. Okay, we'll move on. And so they dig another well over here, and the Philistines say, "Oh, that's ours too." And he says, "I think we're going to call that one Sitna, which means opposition." So, this, you know, it's okay. It's all right. I don't mind. But eventually he gets one, and nobody fights him for it. Nobody claims it, and he's got water. And he says, "Now at last the Lord's made room for us. Let's call it Rehoboth." Okay? And then they get Beersheba. And it's going well. It's a good time. It's a blessing. And in the midst of it, God is there, and God says, do not be afraid. I am with you. I'll bless you and increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. Again, what's happening? He's being blessed, and his descendants are being blessed on the basis of God's relationship with Abraham, who was himself a flawed man. But God had chosen to bless Abraham and said, this I will do. And when God says something, he keeps his word. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe the reason that you're experiencing the blessing that you are experiencing is because of somebody else? I am fully convinced that many of the miracles in my life are the result of my parents' prayers. God said, I will do all of this for you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. And so Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. When you realize that God is blessing you, the right response is worship. Worship him. Worship him. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his forces. And Isaac said, why'd you come to me since you were hostile to me and sent me away? And they said, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you, and so we wanted to make an agreement with you. And so Isaac said, too bad, too late, you treated me badly, you're not going to make friends now. Verse 30, what did he really say? Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. And early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. And then Isaac sent them on their way, and they left him in peace. Is that pretty cool? Here's somebody who said, we're jealous of you, and so we don't want to be nice to you. Get away from us. Sometimes when people are unkind to you, not always, but sometimes when people are unkind to you, it's because they're jealous of you. Now, it may be the reason people are mean to you is because they're just mean people. But oftentimes, people are mean to people because they envy those people. So don't worry about why people are mean to you. Just move along. That's what Isaac did, and it was the right thing to do. And in time, those people came back to him and wanted to make peace. And he didn't say, no, it's too late. He said, great, let me give you a feast. He treated them well and then sent them on their way in peace. He was hospitable to people who had been unkind to him. That's an important lesson. One last thing. Comes right at the end of the chapter, almost like a little postscript. Esau decides, I'm getting married. You remember Harry, don't you? Harry's getting married. And he says, I think I'll marry you. Come over here, woman. Yeah. Oh. I think I'll marry you too. Yeah, yeah, come here. Now he's got two pagan babes. Okay? And you know what it says? It says they caused a lot of grief for Isaac and Rebekah. His marriage choice didn't just affect him. It affected the whole family. And you need to understand that even though you may think that who you marry is just your business, it's actually going to have an impact on other people too. And don't marry a pagan. That'll cause grief for everybody.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE,
or contact us on the web at wvr.org.